This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Riley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! T-Boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man in black, the man who is starting to think about a big vacation coming up this weekend, Mr. Steve Sell.
You bet. It's going to be here before you know it.
Steve, I want to talk about your vacation at the end of the show, but did you wake up with a little spring in your step this morning? Did you smell anything different?
No, not really.
Well, Steve, last night, the calendar flipped from July
to
August.
I know where you're going now.
July to August.
Our playtime's over.
The grass clippings.
Oh, yeah.
You could smell them this morning. Smelled like leather. Smelled like pig skin. You drive past the lots. You got kids throwing the football out in the parking lot. Maybe you smell a grill at McPherson Stadium on August 31st.
Oh, yeah.
You can smell football.
Football is in the air.
It's here.
Yeah.
It's almost here.
August 1st is the clock turning for us.
Do you hear a whistle?
Oh, yeah. Well,
blow the play dead.
There's a lot of things I hear in my head.
Do you hear the pads hitting each other?
You bet.
You hear the quarterback cadence? Omaha.
Omaha.
You hear it?
Oh, yeah.
You're starting to feel it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's almost here, Steve.
It really is.
We joke around all the time that, you know, the summer we're just kind of BSing our way through, trying to make it back to football season, because the summer for us is a pretty big downtime. We go from 90 miles an hour to cruising it down into the school zone at 25. We go from hardcore, nonstop, to a slow crawl, and that's when Steve plays a lot of golf.
Right.
But it's almost here. The month of August is here,
well,
and I'm so excited.
It actually all starts on the 7th of August, the parent meeting.
Oh, yeah.
We need to keep reminding parents.
The biggest day in the school history.
Parents.
Biggest day on the calendar,
meeting. Yeah, but Shane Bakus appreciates any plug we can give. Parent meeting on the 7th.
I can't wait. I got chills thinking about it.
McPherson Middle School. It just gets the parents all excited, though, because they talk booster club, you know, about boosting, you know, being part of booster club for the sports.
Got to boost it.
Oh, yeah.
We're almost there, Steve. Tomorrow night, while you're on a plane, there will be a football game being played. Are you excited about that?
Who's playing?
Well, I know the Cowboys are, I think.
Is it a Hall of Fame game?
It's the Hall of Fame game.
Okay.
I don't even remember who's playing. I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are playing. We're going to look. That's next week's schedule. Anyway, football tomorrow. I don't even care who's playing. It could be Bishop Carroll against the Dallas Cowboys, and I'd watch. It could be anybody. But we're so close, Steve.
Yeah.
Football's around the corner. We're going to take our last weekend off this weekend. Me for medical reasoning. I'm on a medical gray shirt. While Steve is just taking a transfer year, he's sitting out, hanging out at the golf course, probably going to knock out about 100 holes of golf.
How many balls do you think I'm going to lose at Whistling Straits?
I wish we could get people to call in and say how many balls Steve will lose in 18 holes of Whistling Straits.
I'm playing Whistling Straits on Sunday, which was the site of the U.S. Open a few years ago.
That depends on how far back of tees you're going to play.
I'm guessing we are going to play the tees that would be equivalent to the white tees here. I'm guessing we're not going to play a course 7,000 yards long, I'll guarantee you.
Well, you have to walk, too.
We do have to walk at Whistling Straits.
I think Steve is going to lose 5 balls. You think that's an accurate guess?
That's probably about right. Do you think I'll break 100 at Whistling Straits?
Yeah, I think you'll break 100.
Okay.
I don't think you'll break 85.
Oh, no. I'm figuring 90's probably a pretty good score.
I think you could do that.
Yeah.
Greens will be a little tougher than the ones here.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. Steve, I had an argument and a debate I wanted to talk with you about. Maybe not as much of a debate, but an interesting topic to bring up. And this will make our K-State fan listeners happy. So I was reading an article this morning on TheAthletic.com, which I recommend you getting your subscription at some point, by Bo Wolf. And this article was talking about none other than Darren Sproles.
Okay.
Not only the pride of Wildcat land, but the pride of the city of champions.
Olathe.
The city of champions, Steve. Olathe, Kansas. Okay. What a place.
Yeah.
So, most people know the story about Darren Sproles if you're from here. But Darren is going to be ending his career at the end of this season. He's going to play one more year with the Eagles after getting hurt earlier in the year last year and still being able to be called a Super Bowl champion. But this is his last year. And he was drafted in 2005.
Wow.
So this has been a long career for Darren Sproles.
And you know, he plays a position where the shelf life is about 2.5 to 3.5 years.
Exactly. So the question I have for you, Steve, and this may not be in the next 5 years, might not even be in the next 10 years, but is Darren Sproles a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so. I think he's been a very good, very serviceable back. I don't know what his most yards in a season has been. I'm sure you can probably find that stat. He's just been a very valuable contributor, and he's about the team. He's never been an individual guy. He's made some Pro Bowls, you know, for his special teams play. He's been a punt returner, a kick returner, third down back. He just has never been he hasn't been an every down back that much. But
the most rushing yards for him in a season was 603 in 2011. But he also had 710 receiving yards that year.
Right.
I think that might have been the year that he set the single season total yards record.
Yeah, because he had kickoff and punt returns in there. I just don't think he's had that many just, you know, outstanding years. He's just been a very solid pro, a very good contributor. And it's not because he's from K-State and I'm a KU guy. I just don't feel like he's had that many, you know, spectacular years that warrant to be in the Hall of Fame.
Here's the reason why I think he has a chance. Is he's kind of in this category that not very many other people are in. Number one, the length of his career.
Right.
And how long he's been able to do this at such a high level. Nobody in the history of the NFL has 3,000 rushing yards, 4,000 receiving yards, and 2,000 punt return yards besides Darren Sproles. So he's put himself into elite company. He's been in 3 Pro Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. Now, he was not on the active roster for this Super Bowl, but he was on the team. So you're starting to put together some numbers. And especially if he has a good year this upcoming season at 35 years old, you're starting to get to a territory that not very many people have ever done that before. And his career has been so long, and it's been such a successful season, that I think you have to give him at least a look. Because you have the Devin Hesters, you have the Dante Halls. Devin Hester, his career was a lot longer, but really all he did was punt and kick return.
Right.
Dante Hall, he had his burst, where he had like 6 returns for a touchdown in 10 games. But have you heard anything about Dante Hall in the last 15 years?
No, he disappeared pretty quick.
So you have these two different types of extremes. And I just think that because he's played so long, he's won a Super Bowl, he's been in Pro Bowls, He has the numbers. I think he's definitely got a chance. Now, this will not be a first ballot.
No.
This might not even be a fifth ballot. But if you get a down year where somebody looks back and says, you know what, and who knows, maybe he wins another Super Bowl this year.
Right.
And has a good year. If you look back and go, you know, he had some pretty good numbers, I think he definitely has a chance. And I think people also maybe don't realize how good of a career he's had. And it's not only been as a pro, it wasn't only as a college player. He's been good at everything his entire career. Have you ever seen the video of his highlights as a little kid?
No.
Whenever we get off the air, you need to go onto YouTube and you need to look up Darren Sproles' kid highlights.
Oh, my God. I bet he...
And he's probably 9 or 10 years old, and he walks up to the camera with his helmet on. He goes, I'm Darren. I'm getting ready for my game. And then he is just zipping around everybody. Nobody can tackle him.
Yeah.
And I may have told the story on air before, but... So Darren and I are both from Olathe. He grew up in the Olathe school system, so did I. And one of my middle school teachers was a coach at my same middle school when Darren Sproles was in middle school as well, so like the mid-90s. And we asked our middle school teacher who was a coach, well, did you coach against Darren Sproles? They went, yeah, he came and played here when he was in ninth grade. And they said he had 8 touches in the game, touched the ball 8 times, and he scored 8 touchdowns.
I could see him being more in the College Football Hall of Fame.
He had a pretty unbelievable college career,
yeah,
too.
I really believe, I don't know how many yards he had in college.
His junior year, which was 03, just shy of 2,000 yards, 1,986 yards and 16 touchdowns. And that was the year K-State won the Big 12. The weird thing is I looked back on that, K-State played 15 games that year, which is really weird for that time. A lot of teams played 11 regular season games.
How did they play 50?
They played 5 non-conference games.
Okay.
And then they played their Big 12 schedule, which I think was 8. Then they played in the Big 12 championship game, so you're up to 14. And then they played in the Fiesta Bowl against Ohio State.
Okay.
What on earth was Bill Snyder thinking, for one, besides just pad Darren's stats and get him close to 2,000? But
well,
they played 15 games.
Yeah, I think he'd have a better chance being in the College Football. I could see him in the College Football Hall of Fame.
And he was a legitimate Heisman candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Those last 2 years. It'll just be interesting to see what happens with his... because I think the folklore of Darren Sproles, certainly in Olathe, I mean, I don't think... I lived in Olathe for the majority of his high school career. I was there by the end, but it's not like I would have gone to watch him.
Don't you think our interest in Darren Sproles is much more heightened than somebody in Fargo, North Dakota?
Yes, I think that's for sure.
You think somebody in Seattle, Washington is thinking, man, Darren Sproles ought to be in the Hall. He could be in the Hall of Fame. I just don't think that many people think that way.
But I think people do recognize him as a very good player,
right,
and that he's been around for a long time. And when you're watching, let's say, the Chiefs on Fox, and they cut over and say, hey, what's going on in Philly? And they go, uh-oh, Darren Sproles, another return.
Mm-hmm.
I think people go, wow, I can't believe he's still in the league. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
There's a chance. And I think people that follow the game close enough would know how good of a career he's had. He's done it on 3 different teams, too. He was on the Chargers to start and had a great run there. Then went to the Saints and really turned it up.
What a perfect team. The Saints was a perfect team for him.
And then he made 3 Pro Bowls in Philly at the age of 31, 32, and 33.
Yeah.
Which is not easy to do.
Yeah.
I really hope he ends with a bang this year and goes out on a really good note.
Well, I think he was actually going to end it last year, and he didn't want to go out in an injury-shortened season.
I think it was in the 3rd game that he got hurt for the Eagles last year.
Yeah.
And the Eagles won the Super Bowl without him and without Carson Wentz.
People have to remember, he's 5'6".
Right.
And like, what, 190 maybe?
But as he is referred to back in the City of Champions, Olathe, Tank.
Okay.
That was his nickname growing up.
Oh, okay.
And Tank still holds about every single weightlifting record at Olathe North.
Well, that's impressive.
They talked a lot in this article. Again, we're talking about Darren Sproles because I read an article about him this morning. they were talking about his high school career and his family situation and his entire road to even getting to K-State. I think they threw out the number that he had 2,800 rushing yards and 45 touchdowns his senior season.
That's not bad. Think the bus can do that?
Yeah,
this
to put
year?
That into perspective, Jace Kinnaman, the McPherson running back last year, had just over 1,000 yards, and I think he had 16 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and he was first team all league.
Right.
Darren Sproles had almost 3,000 yards and 45 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he barely played the second half of any game.
Oh, I'm sure, because they just routed everybody back then.
And they were, I think they won three state championships in a row, and then they had a not great year his junior year. I think they lost two games. And then his senior year, they went off.
How could they ever lose a game with him in the backfield? I always wonder about that.
If you don't have a very good offensive line. And there were some good teams around that time, too. But Darren Sproles is one of the freakiest high school athletes anybody's ever seen. Then he gets to K-State. And I love hearing the story about how when he got to K-State, Bill Snyder doesn't want to give him any preferential treatment. He says, all right, Darren, you're going to be on the scout team. You go over there, scout team offense. And they're giving him the ball, and he's just blowing past the first team defensive backs. And they're going, "Hey, like, stop running so hard. We're trying to learn the system." He's like, "I'm not even running hard."
Yeah.
He makes his way onto the roster. It's just such a great story. His career throughout K-State, you know, taking K-State to a Big 12 championship.
Oh yeah.
And beating Oklahoma, who even though lost that game, I think Jason White was their Heisman-winning quarterback. Went on to play in the national championship game, which they lost to LSU. And then they made it to the Fiesta Bowl. One of my earliest memories of watching a K-State game was the Big 12 championship game against OU. Because my parents weren't K-State fans, and I would have no reason to really watch them before 2003. But we went over to our neighbor's house. They're huge K-State fans. Watched that game, watched the Fiesta Bowl. Those are the early memories I have, and Darren Sproles is entrenched in them. And then you saw what happened after he left. Rough year. Bring in Ron Prince.
Ugh.
Bill Moses Snyder said, all right, I'm going to go out on top. Bring in Ron Prince. Ugh.
Yeah. And 4 years later, Bill Snyder was back.
And did he have Jordy Nelson and Josh Freeman for a majority of those 3 years, Ron Prince?
I don't remember. I do not remember.
He was bad with those two.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't really say bad. Bad by K-State standards.
Well, yeah.
Bill Snyder had taken K-State to where they were winning 10, 11 games every year. I think Ron Prince was about a 500 coach. I think they were 7-5 one year, 5-7 one year. But he just never quite connected, you know.
He lost all three times to KU, right?
Well, that right there was that's disgraceful. I mean, you should.
Well, now, yeah.
Yeah, but they should never, you know, Snyder has never even come close since he's come back to losing to KU, and who knows.
KU has been really good since he came back.
Yeah.
They've been a really good team.
They haven't been good since 2008. Once the Orange Bowl ended, then the next year I think they started 5-0 or something like that.
Yeah, and then lost the last seven.
Lost the last seven, and they have been awful ever since.
Well, Steve, whenever I came into the office today, you said, that five-star recruit the KU had out of Louisiana, he's backed out of his commitment.
Yeah.
And what did I say? Huh, you think?
Yeah. And the thing is, he's a four-star quarterback out of Louisiana. You know, they've kind of gotten the Louisiana connection going. I think he sees the handwriting on the wall. David Beatty will not be there after the year. I did see Jeff Long.
He might not be there by October 1.
I did see a story, though. The new AD, Jeff Long, says, I don't believe in making changes during the season, which, of course, I'm sure.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see about that when they get beat by Nicholls State. If they get beat by Nicholls State, oh, my gosh, it's just, he may be done after that.
Well, game. They lost to Ohio and Central Michigan last year.
Yeah, but those teams have been the bowl games. It's, you know, but. You lose to Nicholls State, that would just be, he'd be done. He'd be done.
Well, as we mentioned, we're getting closer and closer to football. I've got a huge plan coming up for the month of August for what days we're going to talk about college football itself. We're going to have a KU preview day. We're going to have a K-State preview day, a Big 12 preview day. McPherson I teams, the NFL, the Chiefs. We're going to have all sorts of preview days. Matt College and the KCAC. We're going to break down all of it as we continue to get closer and closer. So make sure you'll be listening here for the next month or so. All right, Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, the trade deadline was yesterday for the MLB, and there were a ton of moves made. We'll talk about that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, do you think people are excited or bummed that we don't have an interview today and they have to listen to more of us?
Probably bummed.
Because the last 2 days, it's been all interviews. We have had other people in here.
Mm-hmm.
They get to be smarter than us.
Well, that doesn't take much.
That's true. And then now you get stuck with us again.
Coach Mark was really good yesterday.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Patron even put it on the Matt College website. Nicholas Patron really getting after it as the SID.
He's excited.
At Matt College. He's all pumped up.
Well, Steve, the other big story that was going on yesterday, the MLB trade deadline, which the Royals had participated in early, of course, with the Mike Moustakas deal, sending him to the Milwaukee Brewers. And the Brewers made a lot of moves early as well. I believe they also added Jonathan Schoop from the Baltimore Orioles.
Even though
yesterday.
It looks like Shoop.
It looks like Shoop.
But it's pronounced Scope.
I played baseball in college with a guy named Shoop. Spelled okay. The exact same way.
Okay.
And then you have Jonathan Schoop.
Milwaukee is, you know, they're in the win. They're definitely they're in the win. There's a lot of teams that really, you know.
How many games back of the Cubs are they right now?
They're like a game and a half or half a game.
I knew it was close.
Yeah, it's real close. But the thing is, they got Scope, they got Moustakas, but they already had a third baseman.
Travis Shaw.
And Travis Shaw. Now, they're talking about moving him to second, and they said, nah, that's probably not going to work. So they're going to rotate those guys, and whoever's not playing will be their pinch hitter off the bench. I can't imagine Mike Moustakas could be real happy about that because
I don't know.
Because he wants to
get paid to bat once a game.
Well, but he wants to get his numbers up there, so when he goes on the free agent market this winter, you know, he gets a pretty hefty contract.
The Baltimore Orioles were definitely a mover.
Seller.
At the deadline. They got rid of Manny Machado to the Dodgers, Zach Britton to the Yankees, Kevin Gausman to the Braves, Jonathan Schoop to the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, you take out those four guys, there's not much left.
They're trying to beat the Royals so bad to last place.
And Adam Jones would have been traded, but he vetoed it. They had a trade in place to go to Philadelphia, and he says, no, I want to stay here and, you know, lose 120 games instead of being in the middle of a pennant race. So I didn't quite understand that line of thinking, but, you know, sometimes, you know, being comfortable and being in the community is more important than winning, apparently.
I know one of the other big moves was Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Chris Archer going up to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Good to see the Pirates
in
there making, you know, they have been red hot. They were 40-49 at one point, and they have won something like 16 of their last 20, and they're in the wild card hunt. And who's
they're at 56-52 now?
Yeah, they were okay. 56. They're four games over, so they've improved by 13 games here in the last month. So I think they had like one of the top records in baseball for the month of July. But Chris Archer is a big time pitcher. And Pittsburgh's an exciting team to watch. They got some really good athletic players in the outfield. They got a good infielder in Josh Harrison. They're just, you know, if I wasn't a Cardinals fan, I kind of was a Pirates fan back in the 70s with the We Are Family and Willie Stargell and Al Oliver. I love those Pirate teams. When they played the Cardinals, it was kind of hard for me, you know, to root 100% for the Cardinals, who, by the way, did nothing. They were sellers. They got rid of Tommy Pham, a really good outfielder. They got rid of Luke Voit, and they added basically a couple minor leaguers, and that's it. So Cardinals obviously raising the white flag.
One of the other bigger moves from the trade deadline yesterday, Brian Dozier, who has been a Royals killer with the Twins, to the Dodgers. The Dodgers started off so bad, and here they are on August 1st, a half game back of first place.
Yeah, they were.
Game back in the Diamondbacks, and them in the Rockies
and
are.
I still think it's, you know, baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. I think in the long run, the Dodgers will end up winning the division. I mean, Colorado, they're just not very good on the road. And Arizona, you know, you only pitch Zach Greinke once every 5 days. I don't know what else they got for pitching. But Arizona's kind of hung in there, and they were another team that – all the teams that are in the hunt basically made moves, and the rich got richer, the poor got poorer. And baseball really is right now. If you look at this year, you look at the American League, there's three teams that could win 100 games. There's three teams that could lose 100 games. So you really got to imbalance. In fact, Dayton Moore talked about that off air. He says he can't ever remember a year where there was such a divide between the good teams and the bad teams in the American League, because there is no middle ground hardly. You look at the American League Central, every team other than Cleveland is under 500, and Chicago and Kansas City are having historically bad seasons. Baltimore is having a historically bad season. So there really is a lot of disparity in the American League this year.
You want to take a guess at how many games back the Orioles are of the first-place Boston Red Sox?
Probably about 35.
How about Jackie Robinson?
42? They're 42 back, and they could set a record for the number of games finishing behind.
42 games back.
Well, you figure they play the Red Sox and the Yankees 19 apiece, so there's 38 games, and they might win maybe, what, 4 or 5 out of 38 against those teams. Ooh, that's ugly.
The Royals are just 25 games back of Cleveland.
And actually, if the Royals would, you know, if they would sweep the White Sox, you know, they won last night, I think they'd only be like 2 games back of the White Sox from 4th. Not that that's anything to crow about.
Well, they're 4 back right now, so
Yeah.
Big moves happening.
Yeah, get up to
get excited.
Get to 4th place in the AL Central. But, you know, Dayton Moore, he was pretty honest when he was in here. He knew this was going to, you know, he knew he was taking some heat when he didn't make moves. Last year's when he really should have made the moves.
Asked him about it.
Yeah, and he thought he had the, you know, he had the commitment to the team, the commitment to the town.
If it wasn't for Cleveland's ridiculous winning streak.
If Cleveland doesn't win 22 in a row, it's probably a pretty good race.
Yeah.
And the Royals were still in it. They were in the wild card, I believe, with about 2 weeks to go. They were still there and still had a chance.
All right, Steve. Let's wrap up the show, wrap up the week. We need to get a preview of your big field trip and your big vacation coming up here this weekend. We'll do that next, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim and wrapping up the week here a little bit early, even though it's Wednesday afternoon. See, I have to go have medical procedures done. I'm going to be laying up.
Wisdom teeth.
Not eating anything. Hopefully I can lose some weight.
There you go.
That's the good thing about getting your wisdom teeth removed. But yeah. Steve is having one last hoorah.
Yeah.
Before the work really gets going here at the end of this month. Steve is taking a trip with some undisclosed other participants. We won't say who. They're also playing a little hooky. Going up to the city of Chicago. And to the city of Milwaukee.
Right.
So, Steve, give us a rundown of what you will be doing.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing golf for 4 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, up in Whistling Straits. I think that's on Sunday. We're playing 4 days of golf, and 3 of them are on top 100 courses, I believe, in the entire country. Whistling Straits, of course, had the U.S. Open. So that's kind of a golf package that they, you know, that they offer, and we're going to take advantage of that. And going to take in, I think, a Brewers game or a Cubs game, not sure which. I think it was a Brewers game, though.
So you're going to go down the slide.
No. But also going to go to Packers Fan Appreciation Night where they have a scrimmage, and then the fans, I think, you know, can, you know, mill around and talk to the team. So that ought to be fun, going to Lambeau Field. So
you're
going to
get a cheese head.
I don't think so. I love cheese, but I don't need, you know.
You don't need it on your head.
I don't need it on my head. So I haven't really taken what I'd call a true vacation since about 1997. And that's when I went to Florida and played five days of golf in Florida. So when I get back, it's diving into the fall sports magazine. I've got much of it done. Photos are done. Got, you know, the K-Man took care of us on the photos.
Kendall.
Got columns done, schedules done, things like that. It's just a matter of a few coaches getting their stuff in. Got most of them. Normally, I haven't even started on this, and I've already got 23. I think I counted 23 capsule team stories done. So I'm down to about 6 stories, I think, to go. So anyway, looking forward to it. One last blast, because let's face it, once school starts, you and I have no life, basically.
I don't have that much of a life anyway.
Yeah, but we have no life once school starts. It's and, you know, it's just that, you know, we've got something going all the time because we're going to broadcast soccer this year.
Well, we did it last year.
And volleyball. We're going to a couple volleyball matches. So that'll be interesting, to say the least.
Steve is taking a round trip, nonstop flight from Salina to Chicago.
Interesting, yeah. I'm kind of one of the guys set up the trip, and I'm a little curious to see what kind of plane we're going to be riding in.
When's the last time you flew in a plane?
I haven't flown for it's been over 20 years, probably.
Are you excited? Are you nervous?
Am I nervous?
Yeah.
I just don't want to heave buckets.
If Steve throws up on this plane and I get a text from the other participants, I'm going to laugh a lot.
Well,
I'm going to laugh at you a lot.
I've never thrown up on a plane. Now, I used to fly every so often from Joplin to Memphis.
Another great destination.
Yeah. Well, actually, we drew Joplin to Little Rock, and then went, I think, Little Rock to Memphis is what it was.
It'd probably take you about as much time to drive from Joplin to Little Rock or Joplin to Memphis than to Little Rock.
From Independence to where we went, because I used to go with my parents, it was about an 8-hour drive. We don't need 8
So hours. Instead, it's a 2-hour drive and then a 30-minute flight and then sit on the tarmac for another hour and get your luggage and then get in a rental car and drive the last 4 hours.
So I'm not an experienced flyer. Never have been, never will be.
Just don't throw up. Mm-hmm. Please don't throw up on that plane. Should I get you a barf bag before you get ready to go?
With my KBBE shirt on.
Yeah. No throwing up on the plane. Okay. All right, Steve. So no more shows for the rest of this week. When we come back next week, you won't be here on Monday.
Or Tuesday.
But we're going to have Coach Pavin on Monday. He'll be my co-pilot of the Steve Self plane with no throwing up.
And I'm not here Tuesday.
We'll miss you. You'll be here in spirit.
Maybe Casey Sunshine can.
Yeah, we'll work on that with her. All right, wrapping up the week of shows. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you next week.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess this is-